This is Jay Sekulo. It's a bombshell in the Flynn case. New documents show non-compliance with a federal court order.
Live from Washington, D.C., Jay Sekulo Live.
We've been told we'll be getting a lot more text messages between people at the FBI. I would expect that we get the original 302 and probably another draft and other documents that we know is completely exculpatory of the general, who is unlike anyone else Mueller prosecuted because they completely made up crimes against him.
Phone lines are open for your questions right now. Call 1-800-684-3110.
Now we have text messages that say, that admit pretty much my interpretation of Strzok and Page admitting they edited it to hurt General Flynn. Is that true?
Oh, yes, they edited it completely. In fact, Strzok talks about trying to keep the previous agent's voice in it. He has edited it so much.
And now, Chief Counsel for the American Center for Law and Justice, Jay Sekulo.
Hey, everybody, welcome to the broadcast. You know, every day, new revelations and on the General Flynn matter, but it really cast doubt on the whole probe by Robert Mueller, which to me is no surprise as someone that dealt with it for over for really 3 years. But let me read you the headline that Fox News has, and then we're going to get into it. Flynn bombshell cast doubt on Mueller's prosecutor's compliance with court orders. And the court order we're talking about is called Brady material. That is information you're required to disclose that would show the innocence or cast doubt on the defense, the prosecution's case. I want to go to Andy Economo. Okay, well, I'll go to Harry first. Harry, explain the Brady material. What is Brady material?
Jay, failure to disclose exculpatory material is a serious offense and warrants voiding the verdict against the defendant. And it also, in this particular case, suggests that serious charges ought to be brought against the offending parties for their failure to comply with the Brady rule. The United States Supreme Court in Brady versus Maryland and in Giglio versus the United States made it the duty of all law enforcement agencies, including prosecutors, to provide any and all exculpatory material that would have a reasonable probability of altering the result in a trial or affecting the sentencing of the defendant. Material evidence means evidence that would likely change the outcome of a trial, and the prosecutor must disclose such information to the defendant in a timely manner, and this obligation is enforceable whether the defense requests the information or not.
Right.
But in the Flynn case, the obligation has even greater weight because Brandon Van Grack, a Justice Department prosecutor, a former member of Special Counsel Robert Mueller's team, was under a court order to produce such evidence, and apparently he failed to do so.
Not only did he fail to do so, but if you look at the timeline of what took place here, here's the real outrage of this timeline. So we know now that in January, the FBI said, close the file. There's no violation by General Flynn. And that's in early January. No case there. Doesn't need to go. Why did Van Grack, as Harry just said, why did he not tell the lawyers representing Flynn that there is this exculpatory evidence, that the FBI had concluded that there was no violation of the law, yet the FBI still went in seeking answers to questions? But they really weren't seeking answers to questions, because we know that. What do we know that they were doing? We know that what they were doing was trying to get General Flynn to lie so they could either get him prosecuted or fired. And that's in the handwriting of Bill Priestep. The irregularities here are unbelievable. We're just getting into it. We're going to take your calls. Your reaction to all this, 800-684-3110, 1-800-684-3110. Fan, quickly, Congress was back for a minute today.
Congress is back for a minute, and Jay, I'll tell you what, this issue, this is one of the things they're focusing on.
Which is interesting, because the Senate's now engaged, and I'm sure the House is going to run far from it. All right, we'll take your calls, 800-684-3110, when we come back from the break.
Thank you. The challenges facing Americans are substantial. At a time when our values, our freedoms, our constitutional rights are under attack, it's more important than ever to stand with the American Center for Law and Justice. For decades now, the ACLJ has been on the front lines, protecting your freedoms, defending your rights, in courts, in Congress, and in the public arena. And we have an exceptional track record of success. But here's the bottom line. We could not do our work without your support. We remain committed to protecting your religious and constitutional freedoms. That remains our top priority, especially now during these challenging times. The American Center for Law and Justice is on your side. If you're already a member, thank you. And if you're not, well, this is the perfect time to stand with us at aclj.org, where you can learn more about our life-changing work. Become a member today, aclj.org. Only when a society can agree that the most vulnerable and voiceless deserve to be protected is there any hope for that culture to survive. And that's exactly what you are saying when you stand with the American Center for Law and Justice to defend the right to life. We've created a free, powerful publication offering a panoramic view of the ACLJ's battle for the unborn. It's called Mission Life. It will show you how you are personally impacting the pro-life battle through your support. And the publication includes a look at all major ACLJ pro-life cases, how we're fighting for the rights of pro-life activists, the ramifications of Roe v. Wade 40 years later, Planned Parenthood's role in the abortion industry, and what Obamacare means to the pro-life movement. Discover the many ways your membership with the ACLJ is empowering the right to life. Request your free copy of Mission Life today online at aclj.org/gift.
Senior Counsel Andy Akana was a former U.S. attorney to get involved in the conversation, so we're going to try to get that done. Let me say this, though. Here's what happened. On January 4th, there was a closing communication from the FBI Washington field office, which recommended that the FBI close its investigation in Flynn. It said it had done exhaustive searches through government databases and, quote, did not yield any information on which to predicate further investigative efforts. Now, Harry, that should have been something that was released to the court and to Flynn's lawyers. Harry?
Continued to affirm that the prosecutor's office had met its Brady obligation, and it is clear beyond question, given the newly released information, that that was untrue. It's also important to note that on January the 4th, after the Washington field office recommended closing the investigation of Flynn, Strzok intervened. Then on January the 5th, 2017, President Obama, Vice President Biden, then FBI Director Comey, National Security Advisor Rice, then Deputy Attorney General Sally Yates met in the Oval Office to discuss Russian interference in the 2016 election. And it seems to me one can infer that there was an affirmative effort to attempt to implicate the Trump campaign. It's important to note that at the ACLJ, we have long railed against the deep state. In October 2019, you wrote a blog post called Criminalizing the Execution of the United States Constitution. Last month, I wrote a blog post on the collapsing credibility of the deep state with respect to foreign intelligence court warrants. This game, unfortunately, has been going on for years, and I think we are only beginning to see how deep this conspiracy, if I can call it that, goes in terms of the FBI and the intelligence community. And that raises a further question, which is, what has Christopher Wray, the current FBI director, been doing? Why hasn't he uncovered this information? Why is it left to a judge to essentially investigate the FBI? And so there are lots and lots of questions that need to be answered.
You know, it's interesting to me also, and I think this is one of the facts you got to look at and say what was going on here. I mean, if the FBI knew that the field office had closed the investigation of General Flynn, that should have been it. So Peter Strzok engages it and says, don't close it yet. It's called Crossfire Razor. That was the specific investigation against General Flynn. Don't close that one yet. Even though the FBI field office said they wanted it, there was nothing there, they had no derogatory information, it should be closed. Then there's email exchanges where Peter Strzok, again, who was on Bob Mueller's team, as was the prosecutor who prosecuted General Flynn, Peter Strzok says the seventh floor is getting involved. Andy, when they say the seventh floor is getting involved, you don't have to dig very deep. That's not deep state. That's the leadership of the FBI.
Those are the people that run the FBI. It's Comey. It's his deputy. It's the counterintelligence chief. It's the executive branch of the executive branch of the FBI, and they're getting involved. So still back off. So he was getting his instructions from there, of course. He was getting his directions from there, and he was telling them, do not close the investigation of General Flynn. We want to continue to look at him to see what we can get on him. And then you have the notes that are taken by Priestep, which says very clearly, try to get him to admit, tell the truth. If not, get him to lie. And then whatever we can do, let's get him fired from office. Severely maltreated individual.
You know, but what's still missing in all of this are the original 302s, the FBI notes. Those mysteriously haven't been produced. Here's what General Flynn's lawyer, Sidney Powell, had to say about that.
We still don't have the original 302. We know there's another draft from the Strzok page text messages. And from Covington, we're still trying to get Eric Holder and Michael Chertoff's emails, phone records, and possible text messages among the Covington lawyers themselves discussing General Flynn, and also any communications between Eric Holder and Loretta Lynch or Sally Yates about the Flynn matter.
So we have not even seen the beginning of the document production. Now, we also have on May 4th, yesterday, a letter from Jim Jordan. What does that mean, Than? What is he saying?
Well, it really follows on the soundbite that you just played, Jay, because look, if a field office communication shutting down a case was not deemed exculpatory information that should be turned over, then what else might be out there that wasn't turned over? That's what Jim Jordan, the ranking member of the House Judiciary Committee, wants to know. He and Mike Johnson, who is the ranking member of the Subcommittee on the Constitution, wrote a letter to Director Ray, and to say it was direct, Jay, is an understatement. They run through a litany of the timeline that you just talked about, all of the missteps of the FBI leading up to this most recent version where the case closure from the Washington field office wasn't disclosed. They demand all documents related to those communications, Jay, in a number of different ways. And two things that really stand out to me in this letter. They also want to know if this went beyond the FBI, if it went to the Oval Office, to the President of the United States. And Jay, secondly, they ask for our interviews with two people who we've discussed at length on this broadcast, especially the first one. The first one is Bill Priestap, who was the director of counterintelligence, had to sign off on the opening of these investigations. It's shocking to me, Jay, that interview has not yet happened. They want it to happen now. And the second one is FBI agent Joe Pentka. Who's that, Jay? That's the other agent that went over to the White House with Peter Strzok to interview General Flynn. Can you imagine? That agent still has not been interviewed by the United States Congress. Now Jim Jordan wants to interview him.
Well, it should certainly happen. And if the House doesn't do it, I know the Senate will. And I think there's another aspect of this, and I keep saying it. What in the world was Bob Mueller doing? What in the world was Bob Mueller doing as the special counsel in charge of all this? Who was running this operation? It was not Bob Mueller. That became obvious. He wasn't so sure about Fusion GPS, who they really were, and wasn't really clear about the Nelly Orr and Bruce Orr and the relation there to Fusion GPS and who might have been working for whom, and allowed the phones of Strzok and Page to get wiped clean. Here's what, though, is also interesting. Bob Mueller's lawyers, and that's what I'm going to call them, Bob Mueller's lawyers went to federal court and certified that the conduct and communications with Russia went to the heart of the inquiry that they were engaged in, And these were the false statements that allegedly took place to the FBI on January 24th, and they were absolutely material. That was the interview with Strzok and the other FBI agent. But by that time, by January 24th, the FBI had actually cleared, this is important, folks, the field office had already cleared Flynn, and Strzok knew it, but insisted on sending, they wanted him out, and then you've got the notes from Precept. So I look at this, Harry, and I say to myself, where was Bob Mueller in this investigation? And the I could list the irregularities, but we only get an hour of airtime, so I can't do that. But it does tell you how bad this is.
Absolutely. So one of the big questions was whether or not Bob Mueller was, while he was special counsel, actually awake. Because if he was awake and if he was indeed competent, he should have prevented much of this misconduct. But apparently, Bob Mueller has allowed his incompetence now to hit the front pages. And so in addition to going after Bob Mueller's competence, going after Peter Strzok, going after Joe Pinta, we should also consider the conduct, and I would argue the misconduct, of General Flynn's original legal team. And so the question comes up, whether or not at Covington Burling, whether Eric Holder was indeed in communication with former Obama administration.
You know, that, my view on that is if there was, you know, I'm not going to comment on the quality of the legal representation because you wouldn't want to hear my comments. But let me just say this, that I think Sidney Powell is looking at all of that and trying to find out who did what to whom. I want to know your reaction to this. As now this, and understand why this information is coming out, folks, right? You get it? There's an investigation going on. It's really deep. You've been saying, what's going to happen? Is anything going to ever happen? It's happening right before your eyes. Now, a lot of it's not before your eyes, like 95% of it. We're going to talk about what is the process that's going on here. What does this foretell? When we come back from the break, we're going to take your calls, 1-800-684-3110. That's 800-684-3110. If you're watching on Facebook, Periscope, ACLJ.org, or any of our social media platforms, share this with your friends. We got a lot of exciting information to share with you when we come back from the break. And also support the work of the ACLJ. You could do that at ACLJ.org. That's ACLJ.org. Back with more in a moment.
Only when a society can agree that the most vulnerable and voiceless deserve to be protected is there any hope for that culture to survive. And that's exactly what you are saying when you stand with the American Center for Law and Justice to defend the right to life. We've created a free, powerful publication offering a panoramic view of the ACLJ's battle for the unborn. It's called Mission Life. It will show you how you are personally impacting the pro-life battle through your support. And the publication includes a look at all major ACLJ pro-life cases, how we're fighting for the rights of pro-life activists, the ramifications of Roe v. Wade 40 years later, Planned Parenthood's role in the abortion industry, and what Obamacare means to the pro-life movement. Discover the many ways your membership with the ACLJ is empowering the right to life. Request your free copy of Mission Life today online at aclj.org/gift. The challenges facing Americans are substantial. At a time when our values, our freedoms, our constitutional rights are under attack, it's more important than ever to stand with the American Center for Law and Justice. For decades now, the ACLJ has been on the front lines, protecting your freedoms, defending your rights, in courts, in Congress, and in the public arena. And we have an exceptional track record of success. But here's the bottom line. We could not do our work without your support. We remain committed to protecting your religious and constitutional freedoms. That remains our top priority, especially now during these challenging times. The American Center for Law and Justice is on your side. If you're already a member, thank you. And if you're not, well, this is the perfect time to stand with us at ACLJ.org, where you can learn more about our life-changing work. Become a member today, ACLJ.org.
Hey, welcome back to the broadcast, everyone. So let me just give you a quick update. So more information's coming out. Sidney Powell doing a great job representing General Flynn. This shows you the fraud that was engaged in by the Mueller team. And I'm going to call these Bob Mueller's lawyers. Bob Mueller's lawyers did not give exculpatory evidence to Flynn's team, including the fact that the FBI field office that was actually investigating him cleared it. It's called Brady material. Harry Hutchison earlier defined what that means. Andy, if you didn't turn over Brady material when you were a U.S. attorney, what would happen to you?
Well, I'd be in serious trouble with the court, first of all. Could be in contempt of court for not doing it. It would make the prosecution a nullity. It would create serious problems for the U.S. Attorney's office if I didn't do it. But I mean, it's just fundamental, Jay. You do it. You don't even think about it. It's natural. It's what a prosecutor is obligated to do. Impeaching material and credibility material under Giglio versus United States and exculpatory and exonerative material under Brady. You do that because that's part of your job.
They did not do it here, so what should be the penalty?
No prosecution.
That's what I think, too.
The court should vacate the plea,
yep,
vacate the conviction, and the United States attorney, at the direction of his boss, the attorney general, should dismiss the case.
Yep. People were saying, you know, he deserves a pardon and so forth. He deserves this not to have happened. That's what I'm going to say. He deserves this not to have happened. And I think the fact that this happened shows you the problem. Now, I want to go to Than Bennett here because Jim Jordan has written a rather lengthy letter. And I want to discuss what that letter means. But let's first do this. Let's first take a call. And let's take Mary Alice's call from California. She's on line 3. Hi, Mary Alice.
Hi, Jay. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
So I have a comment that kind of is a question for you.
Okay.
I've always been hung up on this January 5th, 2017, when Obama opened up communications between all 17 agencies.
Yep.
And I really believe that that had something to do with them wanting to cover it up. All the leaks were getting out, and they wanted to confuse where these leaks were coming from. And by opening up with all the agencies, I don't know. How do you feel about that?
No, I said it when it first happened. The Obama administration serves for 8 years, and the last 18 days of their administration, they decide now's the time to open up this classified material to 18 different agencies? I mean, Than, you and I talked about that a lot.
Yeah. Jay, they changed the rules when they weren't going to have to abide by them.
Right.
I mean, look, this is an information sharing decision that the Trump administration could have rightly engaged in, and maybe they would have decided that some of these agencies should have had the information. But the bottom line is, Jay, the administration that was going to have to live under the guidelines should have made the decision. Clearly, the Obama administration didn't want to live under those rules because they didn't change the rule until they were leaving office. But, Jay, I actually think this ties directly into the question that you asked leading into that call. Which is why is Jim Jordan now pursuing this information? And I think it gets to a very specific point. He wants to know, and we should all want to know, who had this information in the intervening period and did not provide it. You had some conversation earlier about an advocate. Jay, that may be a conversation that can be had. But here's what I'm concerned about. If a government official had them and did not turn them over, that is in the direct interest of the American people. And let me tell you two people who I know had them. The FBI had them,
yep.
Director Comey, Andrew McCabe, Peter Strzok, and guess who else? The special counsel, because these notes, handwritten notes from Bill Priestbeck, the acting director of counterintelligence, they're stamped with SCO. They are the special counsel's documents.
Special counsel's office.
Why were they not in the public over these last, 2 years?
I'll tell you why. They didn't want any of this information out. Do you realize they were still conducting an investigation of the President of the United States on Russia collusion well after this, when they knew it was false? All they tried to do, Andy, was try to set, I mean, we knew this was a, you know, when they were trying to interview the President, I said it over and over again, perjury trap. It was a perjury trap.
It was. Any effort to interview the President, which we severely resisted, and rightly so, would have put him in the snare of a perjury trap to try to get him to do exactly what they were wanting Flynn to do, get him to lie and try to get him evicted from office. But one thing I want to say is, in Jim Jordan's letter, why are we getting this information from the court? Why are we not getting it from Chris Wray at the FBI?
I think I think that's a question that everybody's asking. There is serious reform, Harry, that needs to take place at that agency. No question about it.
Absolutely. And it needs to start at the top. And in addition to the investigation, we need serious accountability. Agents, in my judgment, at least those that still have their job, ought to be fired. And some of these agents, to the extent that they've engaged in criminal activity, they need to be prosecuted. And I think at the end of the day, one of the underlying reasons behind the impeachment of President Trump was to get him out of office before his attorney general completed his investigation of deep state actors. And some of the investigation, more likely than not, implicates former Obama administration officials. And in addition, I would point out, Adam Schiff was aware, at least to some extent, of the depth of the misconduct. And he is currently, I believe, sitting on testimony that he refuses to release.
Nope.
So if you put all of this together, and if you look at what we have been saying for the last three and a half years, I think it is clear beyond question that the Obama administration, the FBI, former officials of the Justice Department, current officials of the Justice Department, including, for instance, Bruce Orr, they all have a stake in continuing to hide information
right.
from the courts and from the American people. And it is clear beyond question that they have hidden information from the FISA courts.
Well, we know that. I mean, we know they committed a fraud on the FISA court. The Department of Justice has recognized that. But here's the thing, folks. This was my life for 3.5 years. And here we are now finding out, and this is just like this impeachment proceeding, total charade. Adam Schiff has those documents, those transcripts. He voted to release him when he was in the minority. And then when he's now running the committee, he doesn't want to release them. Go figure.
Well, because among other things, they include testimony from FBI agents who found Michael Flynn to be truthful. That would be rather damaging to his narrative if those got out in the public right now. So I completely agree with Harry on that. Look, Jay, one of the things that Jim Jordan requests, or I think request is probably putting it too nicely, demands in this letter, is that Director Wray explain to the committee and the American people why they are learning of the FBI's misconduct with respect to General Flynn from court filings rather than from him. And I think, Jay, when he says then from him, he means from the FBI. We don't know exactly what's going on behind the scenes at the FBI, but look, he is 100% correct on this. No matter who inside the FBI had control of these documents, Jay, there was an obligation to turn them over, not just for one man who had his reputation ruined. That would be bad enough, Jay, but the domino effect of investigations that this set off and allowed to continue, unbelievable.
It is unbelievable. We got 30 more minutes of this broadcast left. You don't get the full hour. Sirius XM, most of the stations, of course, ACLJ.org, Facebook, Periscope, we encourage you to go there. This is just the beginning. Wait until I give you the rest of the timeline. This is unreal, folks. The corruption that was going on. Your support of the ACLJ allows us to bring you this broadcast every single day, 5 days a week, full TV, full radio, right into your home. Support the work of the ACLJ at ACLJ.org. We'll be back with more in a minute.
For decades now, the ACLJ has been on the front lines, protecting your freedoms, defending your rights, in courts, in Congress, and in the public arena. The American Center for Law and Justice is on your side. If you're already a member, thank you. And if you're not, well, this is the perfect time to stand with us at ACLJ.org, where you can learn more about our life-changing work. Become a member today, ACLJ.org.
We will fight for the right. Live from Washington, D.C., Jay Sekulow Live. And now, Chief Counsel for the American Center for Law and Justice, Jay Sekulow.
Bob Mueller's legal team, and that's what I recall him. That's what I'm going to call him. Bob Mueller's legal team did not turn over Brady material to General Flynn's counsel and to the court. What is Brady material? Exculpatory evidence. Some of that exculpatory evidence included this. That, in fact, the FBI concluded its investigation of General Flynn in the field office and determined there was, in fact, no violation of the law. Nothing derogatory. The field office recommended closing its investigation into Flynn interactions with the Russian government. Strzok intervened on the same day and to prevent the closure, noting to a colleague that senior FBI leaders were involved. The fact that the FBI agents that actually investigated Flynn, the real investigation of Flynn, said no case, should have been end of case. But they wanted what? We know it. We know because Bill Priestep's notes say, what is our goal? What is our goal? Truth? Basically, confession? Get him to lie so we can at least get him fired, if not prosecuted. That was the goal. Get him out. They prosecuted. Bob Mueller's team prosecuted this guy. Remember they were called the, what were they called? The, was the All-Star team and the Superstars? I remember there was one article that had listed all of the, you know, lawyers that Bob Mueller had brought on in his team against the president. And it was, you know, the Superstars, and it was by Victor David Hansen, against the nobodies. We were the nobodies. Worked out pretty well for the nobodies. Hasn't been working out so well for the Superstars because they got a real problem on their hands right now. And I think General Flynn, Andy, is just the beginning of their problem.
Well, yes, he certainly is. And, you know, I always wonder and ask the question, why was it General Flynn that they were so anxious to target? Of all the people, why was it Flynn? And they were taking, and I keep saying this, they were taking their cue from Obama, who said, I am not a fan of his. The king had spoken. The emperor had spoken. He had made his will known, and the FBI deep state, which is adores Obama and is so indebted to him for his greatness and his community leadership, said, that's the guy that we're going to target and we're going to get. I think that the fish stinks from the head down.
All right, here's what Ken Starr had to say yesterday.
How could senior people in the FBI engage in this kind of obstructive conduct? If it doesn't meet all the elements of obstruction of justice, it comes pretty darn close. But at a minimum, it shows they were out to get General Flynn.
They were out to get General Flynn. They were not only out to get General Flynn, they were trying to take down the President of the United States. Let's be clear. I mean, we know what this is about. This was a takedown attempt of the President of the United States. And I don't care if you're a Republican, a Democrat, an Independent, or a Green Party. Having bureaucrats in the FBI trying to undo an election was bad enough when the Congress did it, but they have constitutional authority under the impeachment clause. They had no case, obviously. He was acquitted. But realize what transpired here. Realize what was at risk here. And what was at risk is the very Constitution of the United States. The separation of powers, equal justice under the law, the rule of law. That is what was put at risk by Bob Mueller's lawyers, let alone not providing exculpatory evidence of someone falsely accused of a crime. So while Andrew Weissman and others want to defend themselves for their conduct, the ultimate victory will be Lieutenant General Flynn. And then ultimately, the American people. All right, we're going to come back. We're going to take your calls. Phone lines are jammed. 800-684-3110. 1-800-684-3110. We'll take your calls. Don't forget, support the work of the ACLJ. ACLJ.org. Share this feed with your friends.
The challenges facing Americans are substantial. At a time when our values, our freedoms, our constitutional rights are under attack, it's more important than ever to stand with the American Center for Law and Justice. For decades now, the ACLJ has been on the front lines, protecting your freedoms, defending your rights, in courts, in Congress, and in the public arena. And we have an exceptional track record of success. But here's the bottom line. We could not do our work without your support. We remain committed to protecting your religious and constitutional freedoms. That remains our top priority, especially now during these challenging times. The American Center for Law and Justice is on your side. If you're already a member, thank you. And if you're not, well, this is the perfect time to stand with us at ACLJ.org, where you can learn more about our life-changing work. Become a member today, ACLJ.org. Only when a society can agree that the most vulnerable and voiceless deserve to be protected is there any hope for that culture to survive. And that's exactly what you are saying when you stand with the American Center for Law and Justice to defend the right to life. We've created a free, powerful publication offering a panoramic view of the ACLJ's battle for the unborn. It's called Mission Life. It will show you how you are personally impacting the pro-life battle through your support. And the publication includes a look at all major ACLJ pro-life cases, how we're fighting for the rights of pro-life activists, the ramifications of Roe v. Wade 40 years later, Planned Parenthood's role in the abortion industry, and what Obamacare means to the pro-life movement. Discover the many ways your membership with the ACLJ is empowering the right to life. Request your free copy of Mission Life today online at aclj.org/gift.
Hey, welcome back to the broadcast, everyone. Taking your call, 800-684-3110. The innocence of General Flynn about to be established. Really, it has been. The FBI decided in February 5th of that same year that they went to interview him later that there was no derogatory information, no violation of the law. Case should be closed. We're going to go right to our phones. We got a lot of them. Andy Economo's with us. Harry Hutchinson's with us. Than Bennett's in our studio. So we got two of us in the studio, two of us remote, still practicing social distancing. I hope you are as well. And doing whatever your states are telling you to do. But let's go ahead and take the call at, we'll go to Dave in Ohio. He's on line five. Dave, welcome to the broadcast. You're on the air.
Thanks very much for your work. I don't know where we'd be without it.
Very kind. Thank
my
you.
My question has to do with, it seems apparent that the prosecution is the one that is determining exculpatory evidence and Brady material. And if you have a corrupt prosecution, then you have a result like this. What can we do to solve that problem?
Well, because I think the problem, Dave, is being solved itself. When I say itself, Sidney Powell, Flynn's lawyer, has done a great job in starting to get this information. But then, Andy, from a practical standpoint, a process will go forward that should lead to his exoneration. That is the guilty plea withdrawn and the case dismissed. That's what ultimate victory will be here.
Now, that's exactly right. What happens ultimately, it's something else, too. But the plea should be withdrawn, the conviction vacated, and the prosecution dismissed. But then I'm looking forward to a civil rights suit
yep.
brought by General Flynn under 1983 and a criminal investigation under the Federal Criminal Civil Rights Act under Title 18 against these malfactors.
And that malfactors, Harry, you mentioned it earlier, that includes the lawyers on Bob Mueller's. Bob Mueller's lawyers should be included in that list if they engage in malfeasance or, worse than malfeasance, violations of the law or court orders.
Absolutely. And we should seek to go up the chain as far as possible and to the extent that we can uncover documentary evidence that incriminates Bob Mueller and Weissman and anyone else, we should also go after them because this violation of General Flynn's civil rights, his constitutional rights, cannot continue. In other words, these agents and these officials in the prosecutor's office and in the FBI, they should face
serious repercussions, because we need to send a signal deep within the FBI, yep, deep within the Justice Department, that this can never happen again. And I think the real problem has been with senior leadership at the FBI, and to some extent, senior leadership within the Justice Department. So if you look at Bruce Orr, if you look at James Comey, if you look at Andrew McCabe, what are we talking about? We are talking about senior officials who have engaged, in my opinion, in misconduct. And then you have a lower level prosecutor, Brandon Van Grack, affirming that they have provided all exculpatory material to Lieutenant General Flynn.
Don't forget that they were called, that Mueller's team was called the Dream Team. That's what it was. It was the Dream Team against the Nobodies. The Dream Team.
And actually, they are a nightmare.
I was about to say the same thing, Harry, so I'm glad you said that. It's more like, it's turning out to be a nightmare, but for them. Because the president was exonerated. Flynn is going to be exonerated. Who knows who else is going to be exonerated in the prosecutions they made. George Papadopoulos, what'd they get him for? I mean, come on. $40 million for that? I mean, I said that on the floor of the Senate. This for that? I mean, it's ridiculous. All setups. Now, Than, Jim Jordan's taking a real look at this. So is Lindsey Graham.
Yeah, 6-page letter from Jim Jordan on the heels of an announcement by Senator Graham that he's going to be looking into this. And Jay, let me just boil it down to this. I mean, our very way of government, our very way of law enforcement depends on having integrity at the top of these institutions that we entrust this power with. And Jay, we've discussed this on this broadcast before, but a lot of people are asking the question, why would Peter Strzok think that he can overrule a field office? And I got to tell you, Jay, I think that the answer to that is very simple. It's because he looked at his boss, Director James Comey, and he saw James Comey doing the exact same thing, intentionally leaking memos to advance a political narrative. And then, Jay, the sound that we had just a couple of days ago, laughing about the fact that he ignored the pursuit of truth. He ignored procedure. I just sent a couple of guys over to see what I could get away with. Ha, ha, ha. Jay, there was a culture problem at the FBI.
No doubt.
And honestly, I think that's what Lindsey Graham and Jim Jordan are after the most. That has got to change.
Let's go to line one. Mark's calling from Alabama. Mark, welcome to the broadcast. You're on the air.
Yes. Is it possible that Bob Mueller was picked as the special counsel because he would be seen as a credible nonpartisan but would be mostly a figurehead, while a team of partisan, mostly Democrat lawyers, possibly led by someone else, would carry out the real intent?
Yes. How about that for an answer? Yeah, because I met with Bob Mueller, I think, when did we meet with Annie, four times maybe in the course of the whole three years?
Yes, and maybe. And the caller is absolutely right. What they wanted to do was to pick someone that was a James Madison figure, a John Adams figure, who was going to stand up there with his great seniority and his great gravitas and the fact that he was a colonel in the Marine Corps, and he was head of the FBI, and he was basically going to do that. I hope I'm not disclosing anything, but in the meetings, he didn't do very much, Jay.
No, well, there was not much to disclose as it relates to that. Let me go ahead. We're going to take some more calls, so we can we'll take calls, of course, last segment as well. 800-684-3110. Let me go to line two. Terry's calling from New York. Terry, you're on the air.
Hi, I appreciate you guys. The first thing I would say is, you know, I support you guys each month right out of my checking.
We appreciate
because
that.
You're so valuable to our country.
Thank you.
The other thing is, you know, Trey Gowdy was on the other day, and I was listening to him, and he's saying it was awful nonsense they did, but nobody's going to be prosecuted for it.
I don't think that's
get
true.
Away with it.
Yeah, Terry, I don't think that's true. You got a guy named John Durham, a U.S. attorney for Connecticut, who is a tough prosecutor and is going where the evidence leads. I believe people will be held accountable. It takes time. We've been telling, I know it's hard to understand that, but it actually takes time to do this. So I'm pretty convinced we will see some justice here. Andy, it takes time. You are a prosecutor and you explain it to people. It takes time to put the evidence together, get the charges up and put it all together. And in the middle of that, you got a pandemic going on.
Yeah, that's exactly right, Jay. The country is in disarray because of the plague. But you don't just throw a prosecution together overnight. It's a painstaking effort of putting together witness interviews, documents and piecing the puzzle together and coming up with a coherent prosecution that you present before a grand jury with a lengthy indictment, and you've got to corroborate your evidence. You've got to make it all stick. You've got to have it all together, and it takes time. I know it's frustrating. You think it's never going to be done. It will.
Yeah. Bill Barr made an interesting comment on this. I think it's worth playing it because it talks about how you have to do this. This is from the Attorney General of the United States. Take a listen.
Building these cases, especially the sprawling case we have between us that went on for 2 or 3 years here, takes some time to build the case. So he's diligently pursuing it. My own view is that the evidence shows that we're not dealing with just mistakes or sloppiness. There was something far more troubling here, and we're going to get to the bottom of it. And if people broke the law, and we can establish that with the evidence, they will be prosecuted.
That is the job of a prosecutor. That's what they're supposed to do. And I believe, folks, that is what is happening. You just, all of us need to let the system carry itself here. Bill Barr is the most credible person in our government to handle something like this. He's tremendously gifted. He's a brilliant lawyer, a brilliant strategist, and a tremendous administrator. He's to run the Department of Justice, the largest law firm in the world. And he does an incredible job of doing that. The FBI needs cleanup from the top to bottom. And there's obviously still issues there. Now, maybe it's getting better. I hope it is under Chris Wray. But, I mean, the proof will be in the pudding. Some of these agents, not some of them, we can name the specifics, Strzok, Page, McCabe, some of their lawyers, Baker, some of their counterintelligence experts, like Precept. They were up to no good. I mean, clearly no good. But they didn't get away with it. They're not going to get away with it. It was like the IRS. You know, it took us 3 years to get justice in that. 3 years of litigation fighting the government. Not the government examining itself. Fighting the government. And we prevailed. But it took 3 years to do it. So none of this happens overnight. But it's owed to the American people. Certainly owed to General Flynn and the president. That's for sure. But all of us. It's our Constitution. It's we the people. In our Declaration of Independence, in our Constitution, we understand the separation of powers. Our Declaration of Independence tells us why we want liberty. Let's just remember all of that. All right, we're taking a break. We're going to come back. Last segment, take your calls, 800-684-3110. Don't forget, support the work of the ACLJ at aclj.org. That's aclj.org. Back with more in a moment.
Only when a society can agree that the most vulnerable and voiceless deserve to be protected is there any hope for that culture to survive. And that's exactly what you are saying when you stand with the American Center for Law and Justice to defend the right to life. We've created a free, powerful publication offering a panoramic view of the ACLJ's battle for the unborn. It's called Mission Life. It will show you how you are personally impacting the pro-life battle through your support. And the publication includes a look at all major ACLJ pro-life cases, how we're fighting for the rights of pro-life activists, the ramifications of Roe v. Wade 40 years later, Planned Parenthood's role in the abortion industry, and what Obamacare means to the pro-life movement. Discover the many ways your membership with the ACLJ is empowering the right to life. Request your free copy of Mission Life today online at aclj.org/gift. The challenges facing Americans are substantial. At a time when our values, our freedoms, our constitutional rights are under attack, it's more important than ever to stand with the American Center for Law and Justice. For decades now, the ACLJ has been on the front lines, protecting your freedoms, defending your rights, in courts, in Congress, and in the public arena. And we have an exceptional track record of success. But here's the bottom line. We could not do our work without your support. We remain committed to protecting your religious and constitutional freedoms. That remains our top priority, especially now during these challenging times. The American Center for Law and Justice is on your side. If you're already a member, thank you. And if you're not, well, this is the perfect time to stand with us at aclj.org, where you can learn more about our life-changing work. Become a member today. ACLJ.org.
Here's what Congressman Jim Jordan had to say about what he wants. I want to play this again. I think we played it once, but we haven't played it once. Okay, good. So this is what he wants. He sent a letter. Let's go to Than first about the letter, and then we'll go to the calls. Than, the letter is basically a request for what?
It's a six-page letter requesting a couple of things, actually six things, Jay, but most importantly, he wants interviews with Bill Priestap and this agent that that questioned General Flynn Pintka. He also wants all of the documents in this period, Jay, including the documents that related to the executive office of the president, so maybe involving Barack Obama, leading up to this time period, and he wants it before May 18th. Jay, I think this is particularly important because Adam Schiff is sitting on evidence that says the questioning of General Flynn, they found him to be truthful. So he wants to bring in Agent Pintka and ask him directly. That's the crux of the letter.
Here's what Representative Jordan had to say.
We want the documents. We want that 302 that was changed. And we want to talk to the agents who were there when they interviewed Mike Flynn and why they changed that 302. So give us the documents. Let us talk to Mr. Pintka, the guy who was in the room with Peter Strzok when they interviewed Mike Flynn. That's what we want to see. We gave him till May 18th. Let's hope he gives us that information. We should have had it a long time ago, but hopefully we'll get it by the 18th.
Now we'll see. We'll see. Not so sure. Maybe. Maybe we're in a new age of transparency. All right, we're going to go in the order the people called. Bruce from Nevada's on line six. Bruce, go ahead.
Yeah, gentlemen, I know that we've gone over this whole thing about General Flynn. My question is once the investigation went through, it had no bearing on anything.
Yep.
And General Flynn was basically forced to take a bad plea. Doesn't the fruit of a poisonous tree fall in there to where basically, your entire investigation has now gone foul, roguish, illegal, to anything past that point is now should be irrelevant, and then shouldn't General Flynn just get a clean slate?
So you're asking, should he get a clean slate? No question. Will it be because of the doctrine of the fruit of the poisonous tree or prosecutorial misconduct, Andy, or both?
Well, I think it's a little bit of both. Certainly anything that was derived from the Flynn prosecution should be suppressed, because it is the fruit of the poisonous tree under the Wong Sung decision. And furthermore, it is prosecutorial misconduct, and the prosecutors who did this should be sanctioned, should be disciplined, in some cases even disbarred for violating the most fundamental precepts that a prosecutor has, doing justice, giving exonerative material, giving material that impacts on credibility to the other side, and not simply hiding that information. And two other things about Jim Jordan's letter that we really ought to mention. Explain, Director Ray, why we are not getting this information from the FBI, why we're getting it from the court. Chris Ray has explanation to do, Jay.
Okay. You heard that from Andy Economo. I mean, it's the serious stuff. All right, Maureen's calling on line three from Indiana. Maureen, you're on the air.
Hi, thank you for taking my call. So, two things, actually. At the end of your 12:30 segment, you said that the correction was that was going on. And what just clicked in my head was that it is still going on. And one of the two questions is, how do we make our voices heard so that this just isn't swept under the rug?
Well, let me jump in, Maureen, because we're tight on time. It isn't being brushed under the rug. There is a full investigation going on by a U.S. attorney, a couple of U.S. attorneys, actually, that are investigating the Flynn case separately and the entire Russia probe. So it's being looked at top to bottom. So I think in that sense, it's going to take time, but I think we're going to see answers. It's not going to be years here. It's going to be months. I think we're going to have real answers here. I don't think the answer is going to be anything other than what we expect. Corruption up and down the system, unfortunately. Unfortunately for the American people, and unfortunately for the ones that were caught up in this. Let's do this. Let's go to Daniel, who's calling in New Mexico on line four. Daniel, go ahead.
Yeah, thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
My question is, is it possible for the court to exonerate Michael Flynn after all this has come about?
So this is an interesting question. Does General Flynn entered a plea out of a negotiation because they were threatening his son, basically. So he enters a plea. The FBI does not turn over this exonerating Brady material, this evidence. And then the question becomes, what happens next? So I think it's a three-step process. I'll defer to Andy on, but let me, this is how I would understand it. First thing is, this material's come to light, so now you've got it. Two, a motion to withdraw the plea, where the court just orders the plea withdrawn. And then three would be the Department of Justice deciding to not prosecute. Andy?
That's exactly right. That's how you exonerate. Exonerate means take the burden off of. You take the plea away, you take the conviction away, you remove, and of course he has never been sentenced, and you simply expunge the record and say this never happened. That's the best you're going to get in an exoneration, and this is a good judge to do it. He does not suffer fools gladly. I understand his reputation is very good, and I think he's on to something.
All right, Harry, let me ask, well, let's take this call because you can do this in response to this call. Let's go to Pam, who's calling on line one. Pam?
Hi, great show. I love your show. Okay, I understand these things take time, but are we going to run out of time? Because there's such an obvious coup here, and we only have until November, and I think they're going to rig the election like crazy so that Trump doesn't get in, and then we're out of luck. And the other thing is, they wanted...
I'm going to have to stop you on that one because we're running close on time. Harry, there has been some election irregularities already. We had the situation in Wisconsin. My colleague Will Consovoy, Patrick Strawbridge from the Consovoy McCarthy firm, handled that where they were allowing Harry ballots to be dated after the election. Supreme Court said you can't do that.
Absolutely. So one of the key issues here is election integrity. And the United States Supreme Court in a number of cases, including Purcell versus Gonzalez, and including the Wisconsin case, has emphasized election integrity. So you can't change dates.
Right.
The other issue that's out there, of course, is the move by some individuals to push for mail-in voting or internet voting. And there are huge problems with that in the sense that those two approaches are subject to potential fraud. So Real Clear Politics has led an investigation, for instance, of mail-in voting over the last 6 to 7 years, and has found that approximately 20 to 25% of the votes were either never received or not fully counted. So if that is true, these initiatives to move toward mail-in voting and or online voting, but they are hugely problematic, and I think the citizens are right to be very wary of these initiatives, and it is clear beyond question that the Democrats are pushing these initiatives throughout the states.
Fun times ahead. Let me just put it that way. Fan, what is Congress going to do this week in 20 seconds?
The Senate's going to turn to judges. I think the House is actually going to focus on this issue. And, Jay, if I could just leave you with one hope, what do you need to prosecute a case? You need prosecutors. What is John Durham adding to his team? He's adding prosecutors.
Exactly.
You can do the rest.
Exactly. That's what's happening. All right, folks. In 1 week from today, we'll be arguing at the Supreme Court of the United States right out of here. Or over there, actually. You'd probably show it. I don't know if we have a camera shot of that, but I've actually got a podium. I'm going to do it the right way. I'm going to do it the official way. There it is. That's what it's going to look like. I figured, you know what? For my grandkids' sake, they'll see it. So, all right, everybody. Have a great day. ACLJ.org. Support the work of the ACLJ. Pray for us. May 12th, the Supreme Court.
For decades now, the ACLJ has been on the front lines, protecting your freedoms, defending your rights, in courts, in Congress, and in the public arena. The American Center for Law and Justice is on your side. If you're already a member, thank you. And if you're not, well, this is the perfect time to stand with us at ACLJ.org, where you can learn more about our life-changing work. Become a member today, ACLJ.org.